Gab, is there anything you have a marvelous time doing?
Ruining everything.
Hello, welcome to Tay2Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about The Lakes from Folklore.
So good. And today, we are discussing the song The Last Great American Dynasty from Folklore.
Two Folklore in a row.
Yes. The Last Great American Dynasty is the third track on Folklore.
Folklore was released on July 24th, 2020, and this song was co-written by our guy, Aaron Dessner.
Our guy. The Last Great American Dynasty has been played live by Taylor 84 times.
Woohoo!
She plays it every night in the Folklore section of the Eras Tour, which is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that.
Yep.
And she also played it, of course, on the Long Pond studio session.
Which is still so good.
I mean, yeah, it's still just so good.
If anyone got into Taylor like more in the last couple years, not in 2020, you've never seen Long Pond Studio Sessions on Disney Plus, seriously, go watch it. It's
seriously
amazing.
And you all have a Disney Plus subscription because you all watch the Eras Tour, so it's on there too. So,
yes.
And so is Miss Americana. So
no, Miss Americana's on Netflix, but it's okay.
False. Miss Americana's not on Disney Plus.
And so is Reputation on Netflix. But that's just two streamers. It's okay.
Yeah.
Devin, what do you think about The Last Great American Dynasty?
You know, this song, listening to it today, and whenever I listen to it, just brings me right back to when we first listened to this album and when it first came out. I loved listening to this one the first time through, because, like, we had absolutely no idea what this album was about.
Yeah.
There were so many speculations about, like, if it was fictional, if it wasn't fictional, who was she writing about? Is it this long story? I love that Reddit post that we found that was just, like, each song and, like, the story, that it was this overarching thing between Betty and James and Augustine. And then who's Rebecca, right? Like, none of us knew. None of us knew who this Rebecca was on that first listen. We all had to do our snooping. And, like, what is this house? And then we're going through the song, and she drops that the house was bought by me. And you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
Is this about Taylor? Is this about a real person? What on earth? Wasn't this supposed to be fictional? Because we all thought that Rebecca was Betty in the from Betty.
Like that first couple days, yeah.
That was so much fun. And just amazing that she's like, I'm going to write this song about this woman who bought this house, and then I bought the house. And we're both crazy, and we both love ruining everything. Everybody thinks we're mad. And we had just such a wonderful time ruining everything. It's so good. The song itself is pretty simple. It's just this tale about an incredibly interesting woman who Taylor relates to very, very well. She's a woman that wasn't afraid to shake things up, and neither is Taylor, obviously. I can't wait for Gossip Gab to hear a little bit more about Rebecca Harkness and all of those fun, very specific images and things, you know, card bets with Dolly and throwing all their money away on the ballet and boys and dyeing the dog key lime green. Like, it's there's just so many very specific things. It's like she had to have researched that, and it had to have all been real. Had to have been.
We'll
or maybe
out.
Not.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I love the production of this song. It has this little take on like a chugga 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 of a train, and that is mirrored by what Taylor decided to do with the production on the Eras Tour. With this song is that there's a train going in the background of the very beginning, which is like really, really cool.
Yeah, but also, she also rode up on the afternoon train. That's how the song starts.
Yeah. Also, crazy thing, when you look up the lyrics for this song, strangely, on like right the first one that comes up, it just says like all of her pack friends from the city. It omits
censored
bitch.
It.
So anyway, that chugga chugga is really, really cool, and it's in the drum kit there. It's like
so good,
like amazing, so good. I love Taylor's voice on this track and where it sits in the key. Like, we all know it. I love when she sings in her speaking range. I think it's so sultry and really lovely and really adds into the storytelling. Like, it just feels like she's telling a story, which is really fun. There are some amazing one-liners in here. She flew in all her bitch bag friends from the city. She stole his dog and died at Key Lime Green. Like, absolutely amazing. I love the bridge so much. Mm-hmm. The way that the melody goes and the way that the lyrics run together. And then that finale of, and then it was bought by me.
Mm-hmm.
Is just so good. Brilliantly crafted. And what a great time seeing it on tour. The dancing and the spectacle and the projections of the train. And then that moment where she passes by, like, she and the woman playing Rebecca Harkness, mm-hmm. they pass by each other and look at each other on Then That Was Bought By Me. Mm-hmm. And she does her little, like, wave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the loudest woman this town has ever seen!
Yep.
And just screaming, and the whole crowd just goes crazy. The whole folklore section is just phenomenal on the tour. I mean, every section is amazing on the tour.
Yeah.
Actually, a really, really lovely song. I like it a lot. I like that it's different from a lot of her other stuff, too. And that's storytelling. She did that a lot. It's like Cowboy Like Me and Tis the Damn Season and stuff. It's like those stories that aren't necessarily fully about her. But with this one, she sneaks that in at the end with a little wink. And that was Bye Bye Me. So, Gab, what do you think about The Last Great American Dynasty?
I also immediately liked this song on first listen. It was one of the boppiest on the Folklore album.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the intro and that beat that brings us right into the song. It really sets that coastal scene so well. And it really feels like riding in on a coastal train, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's what you said. It's like, kind of sounds like that chugga-chugga.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Like, most of this album, I've said it before, just like calms me and brings me to a calmer place. Like, I just love it so much.
Yeah.
And the intros of so many of these songs, they just sit with me in a way that is different than a lot of her albums.
Yeah.
I think it's from when we received this, like, during the pandemic. These songs just really hit me in a different way, especially the production. And yeah, I just, that intro, and it just, we're in the setting of the song right away. I also love where Taylor's voice sits on this song. It's just absolutely in, like, such a sweet spot. And then the song is just expert storytelling. You know, you're interested in listening to every word and fascinated by the story Taylor's telling you, and you want to know more about Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
The chorus is so catchy and also so facetious. Taylor is, you know, repeating all these criticisms thrown at Rebecca and also at her, and then eventually turning them in a way where she's also reclaiming them. I Had a Marvelous Time Ruining Everything is an absolutely genius lyric.
That's like, so good.
genius lyric. I really love the general embrace here of eccentric and over-the-top women who are often labeled as mad or shameless, and reclaiming those words and owning them. I think that's fantastic. And then the bridge is really just so, so good, especially that end reveal. 50 years is a long time. Holiday House sat quietly on that beach, free of women with madness, their men and bad habits, and then it was bought by me.
Mm.
And the way she sings it, it's just this iconic level up for the song.
Ugh.
Like, that reveal is amazing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, she's singing about her house in Rhode Island.
What?
Oh my God, Holiday House. What? And like, I loved that moment when we like realized that and figured out, and we're like, me. And you're like, she said that. Oh, it's such good storytelling.
Yeah.
I loved it. And also just like the way her voice goes and she changes the pronouns. Who knows? Like, if I'd never showed up, what would have been? I had a marvelous time ruining everything. It's just absolutely fantastic. It's one of our favorite tropes in Taylor songs and country songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. Like, this town's about to be a little crazy again with me here.
Yeah. And like, also just like the connection she feels to Rebecca. Like, that's really cool. I loved the live performance of this song on the Eras Tour. I think it was one of my favorite live performances of a song on the whole tour. I think the sets were just absolutely beautiful with the projections of the train and the beach and, you know, all the costumes and dancers, and like the colors were just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The Folklore section colors were beautiful, but especially this song,
yeah.
It was just like a feast for your eyes. It was amazing. And also just the way that they performed the story.
Yeah.
I loved that a lot. They really showed it so well. I also really loved the interactions between Taylor and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
She was portrayed by the dancer Natalie Reed. And I loved when Rebecca, you know, passes the metaphorical torch to Taylor, and then Taylor mouths to her, "Who knows?"
Yep.
I love that. Yeah, the, so cute. And they're like passing on the stairs.
Yeah.
That's really cute. Yeah. And then Taylor like interacting with all of us, like the loudest woman this town has ever seen. And it's also so heightened by the Eras Tour.
Yeah.
Like, because every town she went to she was the loudest woman that town has ever seen. She came to your town and it would be like people lining up for merch. And like every town, like the crazy like economy was getting boosted by Taylor coming to their city. And all the parking lots had like millions of people, not millions, but like thousands of people waiting in the parking lots just to watch the concert from the parking lot. And so that was just really cool, like that connection. And yeah, it's really cool watching her embrace that part too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of this song.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Mm.
Devin,
mm-hmm.
Can you relate to this song?
Not really. I can't really relate to this song since it is, you know, about such a specific person and time.
Mm.
I do like going to the ballet.
Okay, yeah.
You
like Salvador Dali's art?
I do. I like Dali. I have never dyed a dog key lime green.
No, and I don't think you ever will.
And I don't really like the beach, so...
That's actually quite a hot take for the podcast.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, that's something I don't think our listeners know. Yeah.
You like the beach in big beach short guy. Spurts.
Yeah, I like a short spurt beachiness. Yeah. But I don't like just, you know, like spending hours on the beach.
No.
You know, I feel like, did we talk about that in Coney Island? I don't think so.
No, we didn't. I do, guys, but I do it with friends.
Yeah. It's so, okay. I like the song nonetheless. Gab, do you relate?
As any woman who has ever been told she's too loud, I obviously relate to the lyric. You're laughing at me.
Yeah.
There goes the loudest woman this town has ever seen. I find it kind of funny that you don't relate to this song, Devin.
Oh.
There's a specific negative stereotype that comes with being a loud woman and being told you're loud, as if other people expect you to make yourself quieter or take up less space. And, you know, here Taylor is embracing her loudness and taking up space and being herself and loving it and not caring what anyone says or judges. And I really love that and really relate to it, especially that joy of her shouting the line at the Eras Tour, like, "There goes the last woman this town has ever seen." Mm-hmm. Like, she's fully accepting herself exactly as she is and allowing us to accept ourselves as we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be loud. It's okay to be loudly girly. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be a fangirl. And you don't need to dim yourself down. And I love that message.
Definitely.
And I think that that is a really, really cool part of the song. And I definitely, definitely relate to that.
Well, now we get to the segment of... Gossip.
In this song, Taylor tells the story of Rebecca Harkness. Born in St. Louis, Rebecca married the heir to the Standard Oil Company, William Harkness, in October 1947.
Mm.
She was indeed a divorcee.
Mm.
The newly married couple bought Holiday House together. The house was a mansion built on a hill in Watch Hill, Rhode Island. A saltbox house is a gable-roofed residential structure that is typically two stories in the front and one in the rear.
Yeah.
It's a traditional New England-style home, originally timber-framed, which takes its name from its resemblance to a wooden-lidded box in which salt was once kept.
Huh.
The salt box originated in New England and is an example of American colonial architecture. Its shape evolved organically as an economical way to enlarge a house by adding a shed to a home's back.
Hmm,
interesting. Yeah. I believe that their house, it was more than just two stories in the front, one in the back, but that's how a saltbox house starts. It's like taller in the front and shorter in the back. But their house, I think, became a much larger mansion. Yes.
Indeed.
After suffering two heart attacks, William Harkness died in 1954, after only 7 years of marriage, leaving Rebecca a very wealthy widow. Rebecca used her fortune to forge her reputation as an eccentric party thrower. According to her biography, Rebecca once scrubbed her pool with Dom Perignon, which Taylor references in the lyrics, fill the pool with champagne mm-hmm. and swam with the big names, including the famous painter Salvador Dali. Though there's no record of a card game bet with Dali, they were indeed friends, and Dali actually designed the urn that Rebecca Harkness was, I guess.
Cremated and put into. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So they were indeed friends.
Wow.
She would also invite ballet companies and choreographers, including Al Vanelli, to spend the summer at Watchill, sometimes sponsoring entire rehearsal periods, and companies founding the Harkness Ballet during that time. Apparently, the Bitch Pack refers to a self-titled group of female friends that Rebecca formed that were a subculture of local debutantes that would subvert society events together by lacing punch bowls with mineral oil or dancing on tables.
Oh.
I have no idea what mineral oil is.
I don't know, but it might, like, give people a severe hangover.
Or something.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was kind of funny that they called themselves mineral the Bitch Pack. It really was what they called themselves. Rebecca did indeed have a feud with a neighbor in which she dyed their pet green, but it was actually a cat, not a dog. Fans believe Taylor changed it to a dog in the song. Since she's such a cat lover, she couldn't bear to think of a cat dyed green.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That makes sense. That's funny.
Yeah. As we know, the track becomes personal towards the end when it flips and Taylor sings and then it was bought by me.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor then changes the pronouns to demonstrate how much Harkness's story resonates with her. Like the heiress, Taylor had received harsh criticism from her neighbors that she was too loud of a neighbor or didn't belong in the neighborhood. Taylor purchased Holiday House in 2013 and still owns it today.
Wow.
Taylor was originally told about Rebecca Harkness by the real estate agent who was walking her through Holiday House. She explained to Entertainment Weekly, "As soon as I found out about her, I wanted to know everything I could.
Yeah, I bet.
I started reading. I found her so interesting. And then as more parallels began to develop between our two lives, being the lady that lives in that house on the hill that everybody gets to gossip about, I was always looking for an opportunity to write about her, and I finally found it."
Hmm.
In the Long Pond Studio Session documentary about this song, Taylor said to Aaron, "When you sent me the track for The Last Great American Dynasty, I had been wanting to write a song about Rebecca Harkness since 2013, probably. And I'd never figured out the right way to do it because there was never a track that felt like it could hold like an entire story of someone's life and move between generations and whatever. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, I think this is my opening. I think this is my moment. I think I can write the Rebecca Harkness story." Jack then chimed in, "That song is such a folklore moment to me because that song is not about you, but it is all about you." Taylor responded, "Well, it's that country music narrative device where in country music it's like, this guy did this, and then this woman did this, and then they met, and their kid was me," which is the best. You listen to country songs and you're just like, shivers everywhere, my whole body.
Yep.
And then Jack agreed. "Even though it's not till the very end, when you spin it around, even though the story is about someone else, I think it's the most revealing thing. I think it's so deeply personal. It really hits you in the gut when you hear it in the end."
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Definitely. That moment is, like, so earned, too.
Definitely so earned. Yeah. And just remembering the first time we heard it, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Devin?
Mm.
What's your favorite line in The Last Great American Dynasty?
I think it's, like, the best part of the whole song. "Free of women with madness, their men in bad habits, and that was bought by me."
Yeah, so good. So, so good.
I mean, it's just, it's so freaking good. And the "free of women with madness, their men in bad habits, and that was bought by me."
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's just fantastic. That whole bridge is fantastic, but since I had to pick one
line, it can't be
the whole bridge, though. Sometimes it can be the whole
thing. Sometimes we have done that.
Sometimes. All too well. But yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Gab, what is your favorite line?
I knew you were going to pick that one, so I went different.
Fair.
"I had a marvelous time ruining everything."
Yeah.
It's just such a good line.
Yeah.
Like, instantly iconic. Put it on a t-shirt. Amazing.
And the fact that the word is marvelous is such a great word. Instead of, like, "I had a wonderful time ruining everything," or, like, "I had a fantastic time ruining everything," "I had a marvelous time." Like, that just, like, brings you back to, like, you know, that time when Rebecca was there.
The glam. And also the way that she would, like, throw her arm out. "I had a marvelous time."
Yeah.
Okay, Devin.
Yeah.
From 1 to 10, dogs dyed key lime green. I'm like, realize, like, I did that one. And I'm like, how's Peter going to draw that? Because it's not green.
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out. But okay. There might be a dog, and then... Well, no, folklore is green. Our things are green.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So it works.
It works. It's not key lime green, but that's okay. No,
but it's forest green.
Yeah, it works.
Well, we'll find out shortly. Anyway. From 1 to 10 dogs dyed key lime green, I think I'm going to give The Last Great American Dynasty 9 dogs dyed key lime green. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a fantastic song. There's nothing I don't like about it. Just, you know, not one of my tops.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a fantastic song and a fantastic album. I love folklore so much. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like whenever we listen to a song from here, it just brings us back to that time and it comforts.
Yeah,
like crazy.
Absolutely.
So like this song just is comfort, and so many of the songs on this album are comfort.
Yeah, this album is just such a fantastic album. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give it 9. Cab, from 1 to 10 dogs dyed key lime green. What do you give this song?
I am also going to give this 9 dogs dyed key lime green.
Wow.
I agree for basically everything you said. I think it's an absolutely fantastic song. It's just not my tippity top, but it's so good. And I mean, truly love that live performance so much. For anyone who listens who hasn't seen it, the Eras Tour is on Disney Plus. For anyone who wants to watch, you can watch it in full or in sections. Also, there's a million clips on YouTube, too, if you just want to search The Last Great American Dynasty.
It is life-changing, and actually a coworker of mine and her girlfriend watched it and are now Swifties.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And her girlfriend was like, tell Devin I get it.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, we all are Swifties, mostly of us here. We get
it. Yeah, we get it. It's great to see, though, that there are still some people that have yet to be converted, and that can be.
It's true.
And that the fact that, like, how is that possible, though? Because shouldn't people know?
But all it takes is, like, actually listening and paying attention. Some people just haven't watched or tuned in, you know?
And watching this concert is beyond anything ever.
Yeah. Listen along with us. Check us out on Instagram at @TayToZPodcast and give us all your thoughts. Do you also love the live performance?
Is this not one of your faves?
Did you know some of this history about Rebecca Harkness?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Watch Hill, Rhode Island?
Oh.
Let us know it all.
Well, next episode we'll be covering The Last Time, featuring Gary Lightbody from Red Taylor's version.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gav.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.